The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we're talking about sleep. I haven't really talked about sleep too much over these last 10 plus years. And my radio producer reminded me because I said I thought it was boring. So I guess now is the time and I will make it so exciting. But really what made me want to dive down deep into this is my health in the news on a recent article that came up about, you know, this melatonin use in heart failure and just how easy it is to get sucked in to a title of an article, not actually read it or dissect what it was all about. And I thought, what, you know, because it's like, oh my gosh, don't take melatonin anymore and all of the things. And, you know, I do feel like there's a time and a place for it. And, but, you know, in terms of negative feedback loop and how that's not true, but just this whole study, like how it's, and I'll go into health in the news here in a minute, but I really do think good sleep is so important. So just obviously the science behind why sleep matters and, you know, obviously melatonin's not necessarily the bad guy, but then giving more root causes of poor sleep and then obviously some natural sleep solutions to be able to add that in there as well. So before we dive down into that, let's talk about why this is happening today because of the health in the news.
Dr. Leanne's health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's health in the news, what to know about melatonin use and heart failure. So this research study, and I will debunk it because everything about this is just, you know, I prepped my team too. I said, hey, I'm sure people are going to start asking about this. And here's what you need to know. Because anytime you get like data that you're like 90% higher chance of heart failure, I'm like, well, let's get a little bit more into this. So basically, they talk about long-term use of melatonin supplements may be linked to a higher risk of heart failure, according to new research. But does that mean some people should stop taking the sleep aid? So this is a review of electronic medical records. So this is not necessarily a study where they set out to say, hey, let's look to see if people who actually take melatonin have a higher risk of heart failure. They looked at electronic medical records of thousands of people who had chronic insomnia and took melatonin for a year or longer. And they said, oh, hey, you know, if you have heart failure and you took melatonin, that probably means that that melatonin caused, and that's what this is saying, what they're trying to say, at least, it caused heart failure, compared to the participants who had the same health factors but didn't take melatonin. They said melatonin users were also more than 3 times as likely to be hospitalized for heart failure and about twice to die from any cause. But experts suggest holding off on seeing melatonin as a definite danger. The research had significant, and it says this in the news article, significant limitations, was not designed to be able to prove cause and effect, and contradicts previous studies that indicate positives for heart health. The research also, at this point, has not been peer-reviewed, nor has it been published to a journal, but will be presented at the American Heart Association's scientific sessions. Right? And so this is one where people read the title, melatonin and heart failure. And they're like, hey, if you take melatonin, you have a 90% chance of getting heart failure. And you're like, no, that's not necessarily true. It's like we cherry picked a couple words from this study. They said, while the association we found can raise concerns about the supplement, our study cannot prove a direct cause and effect relationship. This means more research is needed to test melatonin safety for the heart. So naturally occurring melatonin is in the brain. So we'll kind of talk about that a little bit more. So in the United States, because melatonin is sold as a dietary supplement, manufacturers aren't subject to the level of scrutiny involved with safety measures and approval processes for drugs. This means melatonin supplements can contain significantly more or less of an active ingredient than advertised or necessary, as well as harmful and hidden additives. That's why I always say, make sure it is GMP or NSF certified. So say they're getting this melatonin from Walmart, right? Or Walgreens. This is one years ago, the New York State's Attorney General had class action lawsuit against Walmart, Walgreens, Target, and GNC because they had, you know, say it was like, hey, here's some melatonin. And they found that in majority of them, the active ingredient, which could be melatonin, wasn't even in there. And it could have said, oh, we are, you know, soy-free, gluten-free, and all the, you know, additive-free. And then they found that it was no more than just common houseplant with very, very common allergens. You're like, of course it didn't make you feel better. Chronic insomnia experienced by 10% of the global population is defined by taking more than 30 minutes to fall asleep or fall back to sleep up to 3 times a week for more than 3 months. Obviously, this can lead to problems with memory, daytime energy, mood, thinking, concentration, work, school performance, social life. So the research team assessed this. This is what they had just done. 130 adults with health records. And this is international through an international electronic database. They were about 55 years old on average. 61% were women. The database include patients in countries that requires a prescription for melatonin, such as the UK, United Kingdom, and those that don't, including the United States. So the control group may unknowingly include adults who are taking melatonin without a prescription, which wouldn't be reflected in their medical records, right? So they're like, oh, we're gonna put it to this database and people who didn't take melatonin. Oh, but by the way, they could just be taking over-the-counter melatonin, so we don't even know if that is true or not for this database, which is why it hasn't been peer-reviewed, because that would have been caught by peer-reviewed and why it likely will not actually be published. No one's going to publish something that doesn't have an actual control group. The research also did not have details of the severity of the participants' insomnia or whether they had any mental health issues, both of which can influence melatonin use and heart health risks. Insomnia itself has been associated with a higher risk of having a heart attack or stroke. So mostly because disrupted circadian rhythms, which circadian rhythm is like our body's clock in which melatonin plays a role, and insufficient sleep have been linked to greater odds of cardiovascular issues, including heart failure. So again, when you say, hey, melatonin can cause, you know, heart failure, what they're failing to look at is that the cardiovascular disease, people who have had cardiovascular disease, they're not sleeping well. Insomnia has been associated with a higher risk of having heart attack and stroke. And so you're like, okay, so is the melatonin the cause of the problem, or are these people having insomnia because they've got cardiovascular related issues? They're taking melatonin. Now you're blaming the melatonin for their cardiovascular disease. Another limitation includes lack of information on dosage. So the Council for Responsible Nutrition, a trade association for the dietary supplement and functional food industry, said decades of consumer experience and multiple clinical studies indicate that a low-dose short-term supplement is safe for healthy adults when used as directed. The research challenges previous studies, including a March analysis of 4 studies that found melatonin supplementation improved heart failure patients' quality of life and cardiac function. Sounds measurable. Melatonin's an antioxidant, and antioxidants help protect damage from DNA by oxidative stress and imbalance between free radicals and the body's antioxidants in the body. Right? So this is one where we're like, okay, so how many people, and I'll probably make this into an article for the office, like how many people just went in and said, oh, you should stop taking melatonin. Where, again, and I'll talk about how melatonin's not necessarily the enemy, but it's just one of those ones where, you know, we're trying to demonize melatonin. We cherry pick information when in reality, anything that they have, it's not published, it's not peer reviewed. Observational data does not equal causation. There's a massive misclassification when you don't have an actual real true database of people who you say, well, here's our control, and you're like 50-50 on whether or not they're taking over the counter, right? It's just the whole thing. Whoever, you know, these news reporters got what they were looking for. The hype about all of it. But bottom line, it's not a published trial. It's a preliminary extract that has serious misclassifications. And it shows maybe a weak correlation at best. There's no causation in there. So just all in all, just crazy. So if someone says, don't take melatonin, you could be like, debunked. Just crazy. But people are taking melatonin to sleep. So let's talk about why sleep matters and what happens when you don't get it. Next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne. This is gonna be the best day of my life. My life. This is gonna be the best day of my life. My life.
Today's topic is sleep. How to sleep better if you are not. Some hacks that you can utilize, but overall, why sleep is so important. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. So today we're going to talk about sleep and why it matters. Some quick statistics I thought were kind of interesting. Only 1 in 3 adults, 1 in 3 adults get fewer than 7 hours of sleep per night. Sleep deprivation contributes to heart disease, obesity, anxiety, depression, Alzheimer's, insulin resistant, chronic pain. So the CDC actually classifies a lack of sleep as a public health epidemic. So let's talk about sleep and why it matters and some science behind it. I actually did this as a health in the news. Gosh, it had to be easily over 10 years ago, or probably close to 10 years, that talked about your brain is like a brain dumpster when you sleep. So during deep sleep, I think the research said it had to be over 6 hours. And what happens is your brain actually shrinks, and your glymphatic system, like the fluid around your brain, flushes out toxins like beta amyloids, the same compound linked to Alzheimer's, which I thought was so cool. They called it like your brain dumpster, right? Like at night when you sleep, you had to get, but it only happened at like 6 hours. Your brain would shrink, increasing that fluid that would like clean out your brain. I was like, how cool is that? The beta amyloid proteins. Sleep and why sleep matters can help balance hormones. So sleep regulates cortisol, growth hormone, insulin, leptin and ghrelin, which are your hungry hormones, which is why poor sleep can often increase appetite and belly fat storage. Another aspect is immune repair happens when you sleep. So immune cells actually replicate and release cytokines overnight to fight infection and inflammation. It's very large with nervous system. It's almost like a reset, if you will. So you have your parasympathetic, which is your rest and digest or rest and repair system, has to dominate so that your body can digest, detoxify, heal. That is often why people can have bowel movements more in the morning, right? Because that system is going through that rest and digest. Where during the day, that sympathetic, which is your fight or flight, like, you know, your body's design is like if fight or flight, you're running around in the middle of the day. If you're being chased by a bear, and Nate says, well, you can't go poop if you're getting chased by a bear. And so that's oftentimes during the day, right? Memory and mood. So again, REM sleep consolidates memories and stabilizes emotional processing. That's maybe why you feel a little bit more on edge if you don't get good sleep. And pain sensitivity. Less sleep increases perceived pain and decreases tissue recovery, which obviously is very important for healing. So I always think it's so interesting because one of the greatest things that I hear people say when they start under chiropractic care at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is, I just sleep better. And so adjustments specifically can, when you're like, what does chiropractic have to do with any of this? Adjustments reduces sympathetic overdrive. So it reduces that fight or flight and allows your brain to send kind of your rest and digest signals again. So specifically upper cervical, mid back are irritated. It's like a dimmer switch that's stuck on high alert. So I think that is one of them. I think the other aspect too is when people are subluxated, right? When the bone's out of place, oftentimes they have problems getting comfortable when they sleep. You know, and they'll do the thing where it's like, oh, I probably just need a new pillow. And it's like, no, your neck is messed up. Like, or it's like, oh, I need a new mattress. You know, and you spend a couple grand on a new mattress and, you know, you're like, it's better, but I still can't get comfortable. And you're like, because that bad pillow and that bad mattress are just exacerbating the underlying, which is your bad spine, right? Like you can't out new mattress and new pillow a bad spine. Like you just have to get down to the root cause of the problem. And I think that's the other aspect that helps quite a bit is that those bones aren't where they're supposed to be. So that's why generally just laying down is uncomfortable is because you're not doing it right. So there's a lot of scientific reason why we actually need sleep. Now, all that to being said, that when we look specifically at melatonin, so we kind of talked about how melatonin is not necessarily the bad guy, right? Melatonin isn't a sleeping pill. Melatonin is kind of the signal to your brain that it's nighttime. So you have something called a circadian rhythm, and this is in a loop, right? So this is really important. This is oftentimes where you see a lot of like night shift workers have such a hard time is because it really does throw off that circadian rhythm. So what happens is when you wake up in the morning, you have light. And your hypothalamus talks to your pineal gland for melatonin, and it kind of signals the start of this loop. Here's what I think is really interesting is that we have kind of demonized. Here's what I'll tell you. I was doing some hormones, and I was talking to a fellow practitioner advisor, and we were talking about melatonin. It was actually for myself specifically. And she goes, oh, do you take melatonin? And I was like, well, you know, honestly, like I'll take a little bit here or there if I just haven't slept well, or if I really feel like I need a good night's sleep, but I only take a little bit and I don't take it every day. And she goes, why? And I was like, she was like relatively aggressive about it. And I was like, oh, I'm about to hear it. And so she had said, she goes, is it because you think that if you take it, your body will stop making it? And I said, yes. And she goes, melatonin does not have a negative feedback loop. So you think about like estrogen or testosterone is a really good one too. If you take testosterone, your body has this like span, right? It scans, and it's like, oh, we have enough testosterone. You don't have to make it. And so that's where when you go off of it, you see a great drop. I always think about this the most too when we talk about like birth control pills, because forever, you know, that's a synthetic, like estrogen, right? You take birth control, it's hormone replacement. Your body does the scan, says we have enough. It doesn't make it. So that's why they say, hey, if you want to get pregnant, you know, it might take you a year or two for your cycles to get back to normal. Why? Because your body has to get back to work to producing those hormones, because it is a negative feedback loop where if you take it, your body doesn't create it. That is not the same with melatonin. And she had gone through all of the, you know, the guy who did the research, and she's like, why do you think that? Why does everyone think that? And I was like, I don't know. It's just something that, I don't know, maybe someone told me at some point. Like, I'm so sorry. So melatonin is not addictive, right? It doesn't shut down your body's production long term. It doesn't knock you out. It might help you fall asleep easier, but it doesn't sedate you. And also, I think that sometimes people think the higher the dose, the more effective or better. But in reality, about 1 gram mimics natural levels better than 10 milligrams. So I think some of the ones, if I end up taking them, are between 3 and 5. Here's something that's kind of interesting for people who are over 40. Melatonin production naturally declines. So this can be helpful for short-term use for retraining your circadian rhythm. Also, it's not uncommon for cortisol dysregulation, hormonal imbalance, especially in women. Low progesterone equals low sleep. So we'll talk a little bit more about root causes of low sleep. But just to go on to say, I mean, your circadian rhythm is so incredibly important. Now, what are some root causes of poor sleep? I think this is also very important, right? Because I want you to think more of moving from poor sleep, from being a symptom, to think more systems for this. Number one is that you can look at is cortisol rhythm disruption. So chronic stress can also cause blood sugar swings. And so that is specific when you're talking about like blood sugar and adrenals as well. Your adrenals are little stress organs. They're glands that sit on top of your kidneys. They're the ones who are responsible for managing stress hormones like cortisol. So if you're waking at 2 to 3 in the morning, it could be from low blood sugar, or it could be from a cortisol spike, which I thought was interesting. So I had done a continuous glucose monitor, and because I wanted to see, because I'll go through like spells where I just don't sleep well during the night. And that practitioner advisor, who was relatively aggressive with me, kind, very kind, but very definitive in what she had to say, which I appreciate. She was very clear. She was like, I wonder if your blood sugar is dropping and that's what's waking you up in the middle of the night. And so I had it. And there were some times where I would have this low. And I couldn't figure out, because some of those nights, the continuous glucose monitor would wake me up and alert me that my blood sugar was dropping. You know, and, you know, maybe I should have got up and eaten something. But I'm like, if I didn't have the blood sugar monitor, I wouldn't get up and like eat something at 2 or 3 in the morning. So, but I truly think that mine was a cortisol spike. And you can test that with very specific testing. It's through the Dutch. It's kind of the gold standard because it'll look at cortisol rhythm. Cortisol should spike in the morning. Cortisol, we think of as a bad thing, but it actually gives us energy in the morning. It could be lack of sleep, specifically from inflammation and gut imbalances. So serotonin and melatonin production happens in the gut. That transition happens in the gut. So we kind of look at, for example, with some of the functional medicine tests that we do in the office, I can see if your serotonin is really high. It could be if you're on an SSRI, but if you're not and that serotonin's high, I know it's GI related and that serotonin isn't transitioning to melatonin and that happens in the gut. So cleaning up gut is just such an important thing, even from a sleep aspect. But again, another one is hormonal imbalances. So this is specifically in women. So high cortisol can cause lower progesterone. Progesterone also starts to decline as we go through like perimenopause into menopause, and that also can create poor sleep. I see it a lot too. My husband, with just what he does with his job and working nights, that's very, very hard because, you know, the middle of the day, where typically as that sun goes down and we see more red light, your body kind of thinks, oh goodness, like I should start creating melatonin to go to sleep. So that's one where when we're talking about what to do, there are some very good natural sleep solutions that you can start doing very easily and free today when we return.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about sleep. Why melatonin is not the enemy, why you should research your research and not just read the title of articles. But most importantly, if you are not sleeping well, what are some things that you can do proactively to create better sleep? Because really, melatonin doesn't necessarily create sleep. It just signals the body that it's time to sleep, right? So you can expect to be tired if your brain released melatonin at 2 p.m. if it was going to feel like it's tired. That's I had a team member. We have a supplement called Sleep and Mood, and so the sleep part of that is that there is some melatonin in it, and I watched him pop it in like the middle of the day, and I was like, did you just take some Sleep and Mood? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, do you get tired after you take that? It's like, I have been noticing I'm real chill throughout the day. I'm like, because you're tired. He's like, oh, I should be taking this at night. It was funny. He was taking it for a while like that. Like, goodness gracious. Anyways. Okay. So let's talk about kind of the master clock. in your body. It is in your hypothalamus. It is, so technically it's your suprachiasmatic nucleus located in your hypothalamus. This is your master clock. It detects light via your retina in your eyes, and it stops melatonin production when it's bright. And so this is always one that you have to think where we're at now, like your house. Let's go back in the day, right? Back in the day when you lived in a hut with no electricity. The sun would go down, right? And you get these pretty colors of the sunset, you know, and every hour, your bright light exposure decreases. And then you might light a candle, right? So you've got some like real deep yellow and red lights that you see. Then you close your eyes and go to sleep. Where now you get home from work, you have the lights blaring, you've got the TV on, you have phones, all of these different like bright blue light exposure. And we sit in that until we go to sleep, and then we can't figure out why it takes us forever to fall asleep. But in reality, that blue light suppresses melatonin by over 80% and delays the onset for your body to create melatonin by up to 90 minutes. So you think you like turn the TV off and you go to bed, and then you're like up, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't fall asleep. So what am I going to do? I'm going to scroll on my phone. And so if you are going to choose to, you know, watch TV or be on your phone, if you're on your phone or an iPad, you can actually change the setting to where it's, is more, it takes away some of the blue hues. I mean, it's still light, but there's less blue. Or you can always get blue light blocking glasses if you have to be on the screens. I have an Aura ring and I track my sleep just because I think it's interesting. And one of the best nights of sleep I ever got, my heart rate variability was sky high, which is good. Do you want it to be really high heart rate variability, not necessarily heart rate. They're two different things. And my quality of sleep, you know, Aura Ring kind of like looks at all the data points and gives you this numerical number. The highest both of those have ever been. That evening, I dimmed the lights. I put on some, we call it like chill, deep relaxation, you know, music with no words. And the kids and I read, and we did like a puzzle. And I slept so good that night. I wasn't scrolling. I wasn't watching TV. Studies actually show that 5 minutes of phone use before bed reduces melatonin and increases brain alertness, right? You're like, let's go. That's why I always encourage people, if you get up in the middle of the night, whatever it can be, that you're not necessarily picking up your phone to start scrolling, because then your body is like, blue light, let's go. Scroll, scroll, scroll. What's next? What's next? What's next? And so, you know, just, you know, sometimes you're like, I just have to lay there, and you're like, yes, that is what's good. So another aspect too that I think is really interesting is getting morning light in your eyes. And the reason being is because it helps set your circadian clock. So your body actually runs on a 24-hour internal cycle. It's your circadian rhythm. When natural light enters the eye in the morning, especially blue enriched sunlight, it travels through specialized, and it's their retinal ganglion cells, and they go directly to your brain. And so this nucleus in your brain actually timestamps your day, signaling all your organs, brain, gut, liver, adrenals, that daytime has begun. And this signals the countdown 14 to 16 hours later, where then your pineal gland, again in your brain, will begin releasing melatonin. So it kind of, morning light is what triggers melatonin later at night. So one, we don't want to suppress melatonin later at night, but getting that natural sunlight in your eyes first thing in the morning is phenomenal. I swear, when we go camping, it's wonderful because I'm outside first thing in the morning, either like going on a run, outside with the kids, the evening time. There's no screens. We usually do a fire, so you have that red light. I sleep so good when we go camping. We're not tent camping. We have like a little camper, but still, nonetheless. But it also helps with cortisol. Cortisol naturally peaks early in the morning to help you stay awake and alert. So morning light exposure helps reinforce that cortisol awakening response. So it improves energy and focus. And at the same time, sunlight triggers serotonin release in the brain. Serotonin later becomes melatonin after dark. So morning sunlight literally gives your body the raw material for its ability, like the sleep hormone later on. I think it's very interesting. So trying to get morning sunlight in your eyeballs. Don't look directly at the sun. Now, the other thing too is that I always think this is really interesting. Melatonin is synthesized from tryptophan. Tryptophan is an amino acid, very high in turkey, which is why people will often say tryptophan goes to serotonin, serotonin moves to melatonin. The cofactors actually needed for that are B6, magnesium, and zinc, which is why vitamins in general are so important. But I always think that that's why we always say, oh my gosh, you know, you're in a food coma or turkey coma or whatever. Like that is specifically from turkey breaks down to tryptophan, serotonin, melatonin. So if you need a turkey nap, that's why. You're welcome. I would say that deficiency in magnesium and B6 impair that conversion rate, which is why magnesium before bed is often very helpful. I will say magnesium doesn't necessarily make you tired, but I specifically like magnesium glycinate in the evening. Specifically, glycinate helps support GABA receptors, which are your like calms the nerves and the muscles in the body. You could call it a chill pill if you want to, but I always think that's so. GABA just helps calm brain activity. I will say too that L-theanine is oftentimes one if you ever have like a stress or cortisol. Remember that cortisol spike often is what can wake you up in the middle of the night. So B6 helps with that stress, but so does L-theanine. It's actually found in green tea, but it lowers the brainwave frequency and enhances alpha wave relaxation without sedation. So again, it just kind of helps with the chill of it all. A lot of the times there can be herbal support. Tea is a really good one. I like doing tea before bed. Valerian root, passion flower, chamomile, all has been shown in analysis to shorten sleep onset and improve depth of sleep. The other aspect too, I thought this was interesting when I was doing a little bit more research. Low vitamin D is associated with shorter sleep duration and increased nighttime awakening. So checking your vitamin D level in general is very important. I oftentimes think that sometimes we think alcohol can initiate better sleep, but in reality, it initially helps with sedating, but it fragments REM, that deeper sleep, later in the evenings. Refined sugar and carbohydrate in the evening spike insulin, which means around 3 a.m. you'll get a big, like a blood sugar drop. And the other thing too, I get on people about this and they're like, I don't sleep good. I had a flight attendant. She's like, I sleep terribly. I'm like, all right, like when was the last time you drink coffee? And she was like, oh, I'll drink coffee all day. Caffeine has an 8-hour half-life. So that means if you, 6-hour half-life, 6 to 8, we'll call it 6 to 8. Pretty soft on the definitive nature of that, but it is 6 to 8. So like if you have a 2 o'clock coffee, it's going to be in your system until, you know, 8 to 10 p.m. And so we don't think, but even 6 hours before bed can cut sleep quality by 20% caffeine. So that's one if you're like, gosh, I'm not sleeping well. And you're like, well, stop drinking caffeine so late at night. The other aspect too is that I feel like we don't create a really good environment for us to sleep in. All that being said, your core body temperature actually drops 2 degrees during sleep. So a cooler environment helps trigger this naturally. That's why it's so hard to fall asleep when it's so hot, because your body's core temperature drops. Interestingly enough, darkness is key. Total darkness. Blackout curtains, eye mask. We even had, my husband had a piece of equipment that he uses for work, and it had like a little light that flashed on it. And I swear. So I just, I can't remember if he just puts it in another room now or turns the direction. I can't remember. But I mean, it's not there anymore, which is what the ultimate desire was. But even 5 lux of light, so less than a nightlight, through closed eyelids can actually disrupt melatonin secretion. So that is one that, so you're like total darkness, total chill, and no noise, right? I thought that white noise machines were just a farce, crock, whatever you want to call it. And then I had my first kid, and someone was like, oh, get a white noise machine. And we have one, and it is helpful. And now we are the family that carries around white noise machines everywhere that we go. We just pack our own. And no, we don't use our phones, because I don't want any EMFs near my bed or the kid's bed. So we have, I think people, it's hard for people to believe EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, because we can't see it, right? And so there is just in general, EMFs for just brain health. There's a study that was published, gosh, in like 2000. It was when like the Bluetooth headphones were in. It was before all the wireless headbuds, but you only wear it in one. And they found the laterality of brain tumors were consistent with the side that individuals would wear their Bluetooth on. And there was a patient that I had, and he had a brain tumor. And I said, do you wear Bluetooth? And he said, yes. And the brain tumor is on the left. I said, do you wear your Bluetooth on the left-hand side? He said, yes. And I was like, that can very much be a contributing factor to it. So that's one. Total darkness. Room temperature ideally between 65 to 68. My husband loves the wintertime because I am frugal when it comes to heating the house when everyone is sleeping. Why would I keep the house nice and warm? And so I let it go down very cold, very, very cold in the winter. And then I have it turn on about, 30 to 45 minutes before people get up and start moving around in the house. Not necessarily me, because I get up to work out earlier, but like the general population of children that I have. So that is when I keep the house cold. So, I mean, my husband loves the winter just because he likes cold, but I will say keeping it cool is definitely, I just don't, in the summer, I don't want to have to pay to keep it that cold. So we sleep a little bit warmer. So I think just really being mindful too is that your body can't unwind if you're in this constant state of fight or flight and your sympathetics are firing. And so that is specifically one where you're at the end of the day, put your phone up, quit checking your emails. Like, what is stressing you out? And, I tell the kids, they're running around, I'm like, no, it's chill time. Up on the couch, no more games, just chill. And the more that you create this almost, routine, it's just like, with kids, you've got this routine of things, but with adults too, with your circadian rhythm, that's one. So I just think it's an aspect that there's a lot of really great, healthy things we can do, but figuring out why and then being proactive about it, especially too, if it's one, I will say chiropractic wise, people sleep great, but then too, when they go through that GI stool effects test that we have, the stool test in the office, and you start cleaning up the gut, 70 to 80% of serotonin is made in the gut. And so linking microbiome health to sleep is huge. I just think it's missed by the average person, unfortunately. So lots of really great proactive things that you have the ability to do. But if you want more information, you got to come into the office. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. I always appreciate you tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.